This is the last of the five books, as we said. And this book is full of laws, commands, warnings, promises, prophecies, and reminders. A book of remembrance. I couldn't help but think of that verse in Malachi 3. Let me look it up real fast and read it for you. It's good. It says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. A book of remembrance to remind us who our God is, what we are, where we came from, and where we're going. So we're looking at tonight, a book of remembrance. And that's what Moses is going to do. He's going to remind everybody what they were, where the Lord found them, how the Lord called them, led them all the way, and how they sinned against the Lord, and how the Lord had mercy on them over and over and over again, and reminded them that we're going into the promised land. So this book is just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago when it was written. Chapter 8. Are you with me? If you'll gather yourselves, you'll get a blessing. I promise you. Because all we're going to do is look at God's Word. Chapter 8, we've looked at this chapter before. We went through the whole chapter together. And I started looking at it again and just about didn't think it's chapter 9. But I won't make that mistake right now. But it says in verses 1 through 3, the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do that you may live. God's Word is life. We just sang it. Break thou the bread of life. That's what he says in verse 3. Verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. 40 years. How about you, John? You're 59, 60. 60 years. 60 years. 40 for some, 30 for others, 20. All the way. He says, remember. And you look back and see how the Lord led you to where you are now. And these 40 years in the wilderness, what was everything all about? What everything in our lives for 60 years, 40 years, what was it all about? Verse 2 says to humble you. Everything in this life is meant to humble the believer. Why? Because God dwells with the humble. He won't dwell with the proud. Proud sinners he's going to abase. But the humble he's going to exalt to be with him. To humble. And to prove that faith that he gave. Verse 3. And he humbled it. First thing God does to us when he deals with us in salvation is to break our heart over our sin. That's the first thing he does. To show us that we're nothing. And then it says to make us hunger. He makes us hungry. And then he feeds us. What with? That's what manna means. What is it? It's a mystery. And God feeds us with the gospel. Mysteries which were kept hid before the foundation of the world. Manna which thou knewest not, he said. You didn't know anything about it until God fed you with it. So that you may know, look at it, verse 3, that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. We found out that Christ is life, that we were dead without Christ. He that hath the Son and life. And Christ is the bread come down from heaven. Remember when Christ said, Moses gave you that bread from heaven. But I am the true bread, which giveth life. He that eateth of me shall never die. So we live by faith in Christ. Christ is life. Verse 9 and 10. He says, you're going to go into a land. Verse 7. The Lord's going to bring you into a land. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. You're You're going to get all of this bread that you could ask for. Just open your mouth and help him. Now, these pitiful people loathed that light bread, didn't they? Well, now chapters 9 and 10. Look at verse 4. Don't forget this. Verse 4 in chapter 8. Your raiment waxed not old. All these years, that righteousness of Christ still covered. Neither did your foot sway. Paul talked about being shod with the preparation of the gospel. Has the gospel worn thin? No. It doesn't wear thin to God's people. It gets like a comfortable pair of shoes is what it gets like, and you're not willing to trade them in. All right, chapters 9 and 10. We're going to look at these chapters tonight. Verse 1, chapter 9. Hear, O Israel. I could not help but think of Peter on that day of Pentecost where he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Faith comes by hearing. And would to God we would hear what he said. It's great peace, great comfort, great joy. Hear, O Israel, verse 1, thou art to pass over Jordan. This day. You're going over Jordan. Moses didn't say, God didn't say. Maybe, we hope so, if everything goes right, there's a great possibility, you're going over. This day. Thou art to pass over. This day. Well, just as God had promised 40 years before that, God made this promise 40 years earlier, okay? When God called those Israelites, when they were in bondage in Egypt, dead in sin, and called them and sent a man to lead them, 40 years before he said, 40 years ago, he promised, you're going in the promised land. He didn't say who, but he did say some of the children were going in the promised land. 40 years early, God had promised that. And now it's time. It's time for them to go in. And so he says, you're going in. And just as our Father promised us that all who trusted in Christ, I don't know when it was when the Lord first began to deal with you. 10, whether it was 10 months ago or 50 years ago. It's real soon now. Real soon now. Some of our brethren are there. They're there. And so, and Paul says over and over again, time is short. The time is short. You're getting ready to go into the promised land. The promised land. That is, God promised. And it's going to be just as He promised. Just as He promised. All who trust Christ will go into the promised land. But first, right, look at verse 1. But first, you're going to go in to possess the nation, but first you're going to be confronted with a people, giants in the land. Verse 2, great, tall, children of the Anakims. You know, you've heard it said, who's going to stand before these? You're getting ready to go in, but first you're going to be faced with some mighty foes, seemingly insurmountable obstacles, difficult foes, formidable foes. And our Lord said to us, you must, through much tribulation, He never promised us an easy path, did He? Never. He never did. He promised us that we'd go in. Trust Him, and we'll go in. But He said, you must, through much tribulation, enter, didn't He? Through much tribulation. Now, and there are giants in land, there are difficult obstacles, mountainous problems to overcome, but now you understand this. You need to understand this. Verse 3. Understand that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before you. The Lord your God already went through everything you've gone through and more. No amount of sorrow have you gone through that the Lord didn't go through 100,000 times more. No amount of difficulty, no amount of temptation, no amount of trouble that our Lord didn't go through infinitely more. He's already gone for you. Gone before you. And He's leading. Leading. Understand that now. We need to understand that for our comfort. That the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee. Verse 3, and He's a consuming fire. He shall destroy them. He shall bring them down before your face. He's going to show you how that He He's able to do all things. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Oh, but I'm going to be overcome with this. No, you're not. Just wait and see. Just wait and see. Our Lord, when He was taking that sin upon Himself, He said, Father, if it be possible. Sound like He was just about overcome with that, doesn't He? He said, but here's hell. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And it says immediately God sent an angel. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Submitted, and the Lord sent an angel. Now understand that. Who it is that called you, who it is that leads you, who it is that promises these things, who it is that went before you, who it is that guards you and guides you and leads you and protects you and keeps you and provides for you. Who it is. Remember. Who art thou? God said to Isaiah that you should be afraid of a man who is a worm. Of these things which are but a vapor. Verses 4 through 6. He said, now, don't speak in your heart after the Lord has got you through something or whatever. That you don't say, for my righteousness, the Lord has done this. No. Don't say that. Verse 5. Not for thy righteousness, but for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. No. Now God didn't save us because we were good folk, and God's not going to keep us because we're good folk. God, when God found us, we were dead in trespasses and sins. And how does He find us now? Sinners. Not dead, but sinners still. And just before we entered the promised land, how's He going to find us? We're going to be sinners. But thank God He finds us in Christ. In Christ. It's not for our righteousness. Understand, verse 6. Understand, therefore. Here's saving faith and understanding. The Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. No. We're going to enter the promised land for the right because of the righteousness of somebody else. He says, we're a stiff-necked people. We are. Aren't we? Wish old Brother Stephen was here to illustrate that. Kept joking with him about that. That's what we all are, stiff-necked. That's what he says. We're not going in because of our righteousness. We're just a stiff-necked bunch of people. Stiff-necked. We're going in because of His covenant. Verse 5. We're going in because the last part of verse 5, that God's going to perform the word which He sware unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The word which He swore unto His Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to notice Moses here throughout this chapter and the next as a mediator. Moses the mediator. Moses the intercessor. Moses who keeps praying for the people. Moses who, Scripture says, spoke to God as a friend speaks to his friend. God spoke to him. And God always heard Moses. And God answered Moses' every prayer. And the Lord kept from, did not destroy the people from Moses because of Moses' prayer. Now, why do you reckon that is? Because Moses represents Christ. Moses wrote of me, Christ said. They are they which testify me. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. All right. Verse 7. Now remember, he says, and forget not. Forget not how you provoked the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you departed out of the land to the day you came to this place, you've been a rebellious people against the Lord. Remember that. Do we know that? Well, yes, we do. Every believer in here, this is the thing that we remember and causes us grief, is our sinfulness. How that we've been sinners from the day the Lord found us. Now, this is important. The Lord says here, remember and forget not. Doesn't it? Remember and forget not how you provoked the Lord and how you've been rebellious from the beginning. Remember and don't forget. What he's telling us is, don't forget where I found you. Don't forget the pit from which you were digged. Don't forget. Never lose sight of the fact that you're nothing but a sinner saved by my grace, by my power. Never lose sight of that. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, Brother John. The Holy Spirit convinces of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifelong thing. Convinces of sin, righteousness. Sin, because we don't believe Christ. Righteousness, because He goes to the Father. Judgment, because of our sins have been judged by Christ. And so, but now here's the good part. Our Lord doesn't remember our sins. Our Lord doesn't remember. Our Lord who cannot forget, forgot. Our Lord who cannot forget doesn't remember our sins. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more, he said. He says the iniquity of Israel shall be sought and won't find it. Because our sins were taken by a fit man out in the wilderness. Laid on the head of that scapegoat and taken by a fit man. Like Brother Jack said, God's not goat hunting. God's not out goat hunting. He's forgotten our sin. But He tells us, don't you forget them. See that? See, the world, the religious world, forgets. It's as if, you know, they were sinners, now they're saints. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you hear out of the mouths of self-righteous religious people? Oh, I was a sinner. Now I'm a saint. Well, you're not going into heaven now. You don't forget what you are, where you came from. All right? And so the Lord's mercies that we're not concerned. His mercies are new. When? Why? Why every morning? Because we wake up sinners. All right? And we need a Savior every day, every hour of every day. We better be leaning on Him. And so the Lord's mercies. God does have mercy, and God is long-suffering. Why? Look at verse 8 and 9. He said, you provoked the Lord to wrath. So the Lord was angry and would have destroyed you. Verse 9, when I went up into the mountain, he said, receive the tables of stone, tables of the covenant, which the Lord made with you. And I abode in that mount 40 days and 40 nights, and I neither did eat bread nor drink water. What a picture of Christ all this day. Huh? Christ has received the law on our behalf. Moses said, I went up into the mountain, and I received the commandments concerning you. Verse 10, and the Lord delivered unto me, let's read down through verse 15. The Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire, the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. The Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence. For thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They're quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They made them a golden image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I'll make of thee a nation mightier and greater than that. So I turned and came down from the mountain. The mountain burned with fire. The two tables of the covenant were in my hand. That's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was with the Father in the beginning. Was with our God, who is a consuming fire, to receive all the law, to receive the covenant concerning us. That God gave him a people. You see how he said to Moses, your people. God gave him a people. God gave Christ a people, and he came down here because we corrupted ourselves. We corrupted ourselves. We were in sin and misery. And Christ brought that law down here. Came down because of our sin. Look at verse 17. Verse 16. I looked, and behold, you'd sinned against the Lord your God, made you a molten calf. You were idol worshiper. You turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and broke them before your eyes. One of the first things our Lord did was he went up into that, up on a hill, and sat down, and it says the people came. And he sat down and taught them. Sermon on the Mount. Okay? It's one of the first things he did in his public ministry. What did he teach on that Sermon on the Mount? What did he teach? The law. What did he teach about the law? That we've broken it. That we've broken it. That's what he did. When the scripture says Christ magnified the law, it means he blew it up to see. Magnify, when you magnify something, you bring it up in a larger beauty. Okay? And our Lord showed us how that to think evil is to break the law. And so he showed us, just like Moses brought that law down from the mountain for the people and dashed it on the ground and say, you've broken this law. That's what our Lord did in that Sermon on the Mount. You've broken the law. You've broken the law. That's what he did. All right? Now look at, even so, that's what Christ did. Verse 18. And then he says, I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Our Lord, one of the first things he did when he was 30 years old, one of the first things he did was go out into the wilderness. It says he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, what did he do those 40 days and 40 nights? Well, the account in Matthew says that after 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and then the devil came and tempted him. He wasn't being tempted of Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. After that, in his weakest state, then Satan came after the 40 days and 40 nights. What was he doing at 40 days and 40 nights? Well, he was receiving the covenant. He was memorizing the law. Every jot and tittle of the law. As a man. Like Joshua. Over in Joshua. You want some good reading? Start reading Joshua chapter 1. How the Lord said, now you be well versed in this law. Because you're going to have to keep it all for the people. You're going to bring them in. You're going to bring them in. And you're going to have to know every word of it. Be well versed in it. So I believe our Lord for 40 days and 40 nights as a man was receiving instructions from his Father. Every step to take and so forth. All right, now look at verse 19. He said, I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But he says, the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. Every time Moses prayed, the Lord heard him on for the people's sake. Every time that Moses prayed on behalf of the people, the Lord heard him. And I thought of our Lord when he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people which stand by, that's why I said this, that they might know. They might believe that you sent me. I'm their intercessor. I'm their mediator. Verse 20. The Lord was very angry with Aaron. He would have destroyed him. I pray for Aaron also. Aaron was his right-hand man. Aaron sinned greatly. Who's Aaron remind you of? Peter? Satan that desired thee, you're going to deny me. You're not going to sanctify the Lord. You're going to deny that you ever knew me. But I pray for him. Why did this all happen? Picture of Christ. He prayed for Aaron. You see how the best of men, man in his best states, all but in humanity, capable of great sin. So verse 21, this is the greatest verse in the whole chapter. And I took your sin. I prayed for you, and I took your sin. I took your sin. Christ took our sin, and it says here that Moses ground it to powder, and that's, remember when he cast it in the brook? Our Lord took our sins and cast it behind his back. Christ was made sin for us. He took our sin on his shoulder. God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now, these next few verses of chapter 9, beginning with verse 22, he goes back again and reminds them of where they came from. He's not going to let them forget, Dan, what wretched people they were, so that they might glorify God's mercy, he said. He's not going to let them forget what horrible, wicked, vile people they were on every hand, so that they'll never forget the Lord's mercy and grace to them. Let's read it. Verses 22 and 23, Taberah and Masta and Kibroth. You say that. Kibroth Hattaavah, Rocky Mountain. You provoked the Lord to wrath. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, say, go up and possess the land, I've given you, you rebelled against the command of the Lord, you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice, you didn't pay attention to his word. Verse 24, you've been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. So, verse 25, I fell down again. I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights like I did the first time. Because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed for you again, verse 26, unto the Lord, and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which, Lord, mine are thine, thine are mine. That sound familiar? God said, these are your people. And Moses said, are they your people? You gave them to me. You gave me to them. They're yours. You save them. You keep them. Father, Lord, God, keep them. Our Lord said in John 17, I manifested your word unto them which thou hast given me. Father, keep them through thy word. Thy word is true. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified. Father, I will. Moses said, Lord, I want them to go over and possess the land. And Christ said, I will that they be with me where I am. Interestingly, I never thought about it. Moses had to die before the people went in. He not only represents the law, he represents Christ there too, doesn't he? Christ had to die before we could go in. He said, I pray unto the Lord. O Lord God, destroy them not. Now Christ, our mediator, our intercessor, prayed often and always for his people. He ever, even now, ever lives to make intercession for us. Why? Because we're so simple. And right before our Lord went to Calvary, it says there, that verse 25, that Moses fell down. Matthew gives the account of our Lord in the garden there, and it says he, when he walked several paces, he fell down before the Lord. Literally. Prayed in the garden. Fell down and said, Oh, Father.
Verses 27 and to the end of the chapter. Remember thy servants, Abraham. Remember your covenant. Remember your word, your promises, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this their people, nor to their wickedness, nor their sin. Don't look upon them. Look to your covenant. Look to your promise. Look to your word. Lest the land which thou broughtest us out of say, the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, because he hated them. He brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. No, verse 29, they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by. And he concludes this discourse to the people. Chapter 10 says in verse 1, now at that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. Come up unto me into the mountain and make an ark. Now you remember the law was broken. Moses came down with the first two tables and said, you've broken them. And then the Lord said to Moses, come up here. Come up. We're going to write this law. It's going to never be broken again. And we're going to make an ark. And we're going to put this unbroken law in this golden casket. Never to be broken again. It's going to be kept there for safekeeping. Oh, boy. Verse 2. It says, I'll write on the tables the words that were in the first. Just exactly what was written the first time. Every jot and tittle. The handwriting of ordinances. Every word. That thou breakest, the ones that the children have broke. And you're going to put them in the ark. And so what does Moses say? Now let's look at all this. Moses says, so I made an ark. I did this. I hewed two tables of stone. I did this, Moses said. And I went up into the mountain. I was lifted up. I had the two tables in my hand. Understandest what thou readest? This is Christ going up the Mount Calvary. And the Lord delivered unto him, said, you come up unto me. Keep the law. We will nail this handwriting of ordinances. That's against them. We'll nail them to your cross. And this unbroken law, the law has been kept and fulfilled by Christ. Christ our ark. Christ our ark. It's written on the tables of his heart to be kept forever on our behalf. On the behalf of sinners. And Christ did this. He said, I did this. Christ said, I did this. You didn't. Nobody did. Did anybody go with Moses? Anybody? Nobody. Moses did this all by himself. And that represents the work of Christ. Christ is all. In verse 4, he wrote on the tables according to the first writings, the Ten Commandments which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire and the day of assembly. The Lord gave them unto me. I turned myself and I came down from the mountain. Went up and he came down. Came down. I put the tables in the ark which I had made and there they be. There they be. There they be. As the Lord had commanded me. You know those tables were stayed in that ark until what happened to the ark? Nobody knows. I know Indiana Jones went looking for it. He didn't find it. You ever thought about that? You know, the first ark never found. They tried and tried and tried to find it. Never found a stick of wood up. Why? And that ark of the covenant, they'll never find it either. I know where it is. There it be. And if you look inside of it, you'll see the unbroken law.
fulfill complete law. Complete in the ark. There it be. You know, from that day forward, Lord Moses made this ark. And from that day forward, every sinner on the face of the earth, until Christ came, their hope was in a box. Their hope was in an ark. All the worship of God, everything centered around that ark. And so many stories, all the way through the Old Testament, stories about the ark. The ark, the ark, the ark, the ark. A box. All the hope of all of heaven and earth depended on a box. A little vessel. Well, that represents Christ. Because He's all the hope of every sinner that's ever lived. And I got good news for you. There He be. There He be. You ever wonder where old sayings like that came from, Barbara? Why, there He be. There it be. Where it came from. Where's the ark? I know where it's at. And you'll find the completed, kept law in Christ our mediator. All right, stand with us. Our Father, we thank You for allowing us to open up this golden casket as we sang. This book is just like that ark. It's full of Your law, Your word, Christ. Christ is all. And all the mysteries that are within this book speak of Christ, our lawkeeper, our mediator, our intercessor, our Savior, our Redeemer, our all and in all. We thank You, Lord, that You've made Him known unto us. You've opened our eyes to behold wondrous things from Your law. You've opened up the mercy seat to show us what's in the ark. We see a rod that buds, a pot of manna, and an unbroken law. Christ, our ark, our mediator. We're so thankful that He ever lives right now. Make intercession for us because we're a sinful people. And Christ is all our plea, not for our righteousness, not for works of righteousness which we have done, but according to Your mercy You've saved us in Christ. And so it's in His name we've gathered here tonight and pray this prayer. Amen. You're dismissed.